in the time of COVID, I want to ask, what if Open Door became contagious, but not with COVID? The church must steadfastly hold to the Bible as its truth, for the time of evangelism is limited. 2 Timothy 4, 1-4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I charge you, I give you a charge, I give you a mission to accomplish. Who shall judge the quick, the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. This is just wanting somebody to scratch their ears. See? And it shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So, what does he say? Preach the word, proclaim God's word, be instant in season, stand fast by the word when it is opportune, be instant, and out of season. This is stand by the word when it is not opportune. So reprove, which means convince or convict of sin, rebuke, condemn for wrongs done, exhort, this is to urge, encourage, or comfort those who need it, with all longsuffering, and be patient in the work, with all doctrine, teach them the word, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This is literally, they will stop enduring healthy teaching. Healthy is the thing that's better for you. They won't, they'll just stop enduring it. But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? The idea they will change teachers to those who tickle their ears with encouragement to do as they wish. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They will deliberately turn away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. These new teachers will turn them to fiction. So however strong preaching and teaching alone is not enough. We need to be firm in our convictions. We need to be able to say to folk, this is the truth. This is what needs to be done. But that's not alone enough for a growing church. Charles Swindoll said, I have lived to realize that while a strong pulpit is essential, a contagious church also requires a context of other distinctives. There must be more than preaching, more than one gift at work, more than the conviction of one person. A contagious church has a number of individuals living out clear biblical principles, with the result that people pause in the midst of their busy lives. They realize this is a place worth their coming and participating. Many Reformed churches give a steady dose of theological and well-researched sermons, but they give the appearance of a prickly, judgmental congregation waiting to pounce on visitors who don't measure up to their standards, what I should have said. Their emphasis on law-keeping drives this. They think the church has taken Israel's place and therefore must keep the law in a symbolic sense. So when Paul was in prison with no expectation of release, he wrote to Timothy under the power of inspiration with all the wisdom of his life in starting and maintaining churches. Let us notice key insights he gave him to make the churches in Ephesus contagious. He had turned over his apostolic rule, they actually had the rule of churches, to Timothy. So 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So number one, make the church a place of grace rather than works. You see, it makes positive, make it positive in offering salvation. Grace points us to God and to his word. Grace asks us to become self-feeding and not so dependent on the rules of men, even the preacher. Make it positive. Then make it negative in demanding legalism. Recognize and avoid the non-biblical rules that you were taught. Non-biblical. If you say, well, I just don't like it if the preacher doesn't wear a tie. Can you point me to the scripture there? See. Of course, I could say the same thing about shoes, I guess. But the thing is, let's stick to the important stuff. See. Before you exhort others in love, as you should do, examine where did you get that rule. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Then secondly, make the church a place of training. Paul trained Timothy. Timothy was to find faithful people. Anthropos, this is the general word for humanity, not males, to train. These that he trains are to train others. So let us learn to take new Christians under our wings in love, in protection, and in training. This is an ongoing work as our children grow up in our church. Notice this, 2 Timothy 2, 3-6. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth, that goes off to war, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I'll be there right away, Sarge. I have to finish doing this stuff at home. Doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, like Olympic athletes, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman, this is the guy in the field, that laboreth must first, or laboring first, must be partaker of the fruits. He has to know what he's dealing with. The third thing I would encourage is this: make the church a place of humility. Endure hardness is literally suffer trials, suffer troubles. Now, normally we don't have to ask for that. But we do have the tendency to try to get out of it rather than go through it. We are tempted to act as if we have no trials. Now, we do have the trials. Everybody has their trials. But how are you doing? Oh, great. Now, I start with great because people expect me to be an old man with creaking back and everything, which is true, but that's not who I want to be to them. So we pretend to be above such things, but we are not. So refuse to put on a mask of piety. You can put on a mask of safety, that's what you're, but don't put on a mask of piety when you come to church. Be what you are, a sinner, but be a sinner saved by grace. Wearing a mask, this is a Halloween mask type of thing, especially an invisible one, hides the real you. It invites pride. It advertises an unrealistic lifestyle, and it reins in our compassion for others who suffer. Well, if you were more like me, you wouldn't suffer. See? Pride. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was born in 1908, lived to 1945. He was a German pastor, a theologian, an anti-Nazi dissident. It's hard to go against the government that's being so popular with everybody else. Here's what he said. The pious fellowship permits no one to be a sinner. So everybody must conceal his sin from himself and from the fellowship. I have no sin. We dare not be sinners. Many Christians are unthinkably horrified when a real sinner is suddenly discovered among the righteous. So we remain alone with our sin, living in lies and hypocrisy. But it is the grace of the gospel, which is so hard for the pious to understand, that it comforts us with the truth and says, you are a sinner, a great, desperate sinner. Now come, as the sinner that you are, to God who loves you. We are not rejoicing in our sin, but we are not afraid to confess that that's what we are. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. You see, the You don't stand up in the service and confess your sins to the congregation, but you're finding a brother or sister that can help you, that can lead you, that can root out things in your life. And you tell them, I'm having some problems with this or that. And in that humble admission, you then can pray one for another that you may be healed. And he reminds us, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So here somebody comes to you, says, Olivia, I have a problem. I do this. And Olivia says, Sinner! Depart from me, ye who work iniquity. Now that's Jesus at the last judgment. That's not us. And they slink off saying, I never should have said anything. Or more likely she says, come, let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. Let's find out what God wants you to do, how to handle this, and let's pray about it. So do not interpret this as making light of your sins, since everybody is a sinner, but quietly, painfully ask help from a fellow Christian, admitting your need and your loss of direction. We may be confident that our brothers and sisters will be eager to help, not just point and condemn. The soldier is not so entangled in his own affairs he doesn't have time to serve God. The athlete strives hard to be better, but only within the boundaries God has set for him. And the farmer is willing to give intensive labor, but expects a proper harvest. 2 Timothy 2:7-9. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That's what the gospel says. He died, buried, raised. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. He was in prison, going to be killed. I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. I may be bound, but the word of God is not. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. This is where we ought to be as a church, enduring all things for our fellow believers, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You say, well, they're already Christians, that's why they came. No, the point here is that there is another phase of salvation, that is this sanctification. That part of salvation is growing to be like Jesus, and you can help. You may not be perfect yourself, probably not, but in this area that they have a need, you may have already been through that. And with the strength of your maturity, you can tell them how you did it. Fourth, make the church a place of enduring care. Of enduring care. Paul was in a dungeon, as he wrote to Timothy, to get into his place of captivity. He either had to be lowered by rope, or he climbed down a narrow ladder. A candle was his only light. His clothing and a blanket was his only heat, and the corner of the cell was his only bathroom. One man saw that place today, that is, in modern day, and he said, Lord, never let me complain about anything ever again. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. He understood this as suffering for the Lord, yes, but he also accepted it to endure all things for the elect's sake, those who, like him, had chosen to accept Christ as Savior. What will you endure for your fellow Christian in your church family? Endure is the Greek word hupomeno, holding on under, holding on under. And I take that as holding on under the tough circumstances. All he could do was hold on. Under all the trials, under all the threats, he held on. So let us never allow our brothers and sisters think that we can't endure them anymore. Let us determine to provide enduring care. Listen to the scripture. John 13, 14 to 20 to 30, 14 and 34. Christ, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And how are we to do that? As I have loved you, that you also love one another. And how did Christ love you? What was he willing to sacrifice? John 15, 12 and 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Romans 12, 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. You love your brother? Saw a picture of Olivia giving birthday present to Ethan. He was smiling and they gave each other a hug. Brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Romans 13, 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Romans 14, 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Romans 15, 7 and 14. Wherefore receive ye one another, welcome one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And I myself, who am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. You know enough to encourage them, to give them good advice. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty only. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Ephesians 4:2 and 32, with all lowliness in you and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. They're going to give you trials. They're going to make you upset, but forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3, 13 to 16 and 16. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel or complaint against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And then 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You get this from the word, and especially the word of Christ. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. My wife does this to me day by day. She says, my reading today, my devotional thing today was this. And she's excited about it. She's encouraged about it. God has reminded her of it sometime during the day. And she shares that with me. This is an admonition. See, this is a direction. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Well, I just don't want to talk to them about it. Well, you let them go. And that sin becomes a habit. Hebrews 10:24 to 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking, not abandoning the assembling of ourselves together. We all have to miss from time to time, but we don't abandon it, the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's the day when we can't do it anymore, the day of judgment that will be coming. So, let's make this place contagious. And I think it is. The frank admission that people tell me who have been here visiting and then come back is that you people seem to be real. You're not pretending to be something else. You're not holier than thou, you know. You're not looking them over and wondering, where did you get those clothes? Let's make this place contagious, because people are dying.